did, you mean?
He left chasing him, and I was so hell bent to catch him, you know, I just aggravated at him till I could have run his neck. And I took off after him. This whole thing, you know, just part. Stood it back at the waist, and I was completely and I didn't have nothing on under. And I noticed these old stockmen that was prodding cattle out, loading a cattle truck, and they just, you know. And in Clark, anyway, you know, I just assumed that he was laughing at Jim's antics, because there was nothing to tickle anybody. The townspeople worse than his antics, you know. And they just thought it was, you know, something else, too. As for that, I mean, it wasn't that he was a kid, you know, but it was just his way of doing things. It just strung them up with mirth till they couldn't do what they were trying to do.
They didn't understand.
That's wild.
Oh, they all swore by him, though. He was a legend in the town.
Huh?
I'm sure he was.
He was a legend in the town. They didn't.
Do you want any more coffee?
It wasn't, yeah, I think so. It wasn't just that they was laughing at him as you would a kid. They knew he was sad more on the ball.
Uh-huh.
And they were somewhat, stood in awe of that.
People listened to him at that time, too.
Pardon?
I said people listened to him at that time also.
Oh, sure, they did.
What was the first thing he ever did that made you know he had supernormal powers?
Well, that would be a hard question, I think.
When did you begin to notice it?
I think it was always noticeable to me insofar as he seemed to.
Was there anything different about him when he was a tiny infant and you were carrying him around? Did he?
The difference was that he looked like every nation out there in the world but his own. And a little bit of his own, too, if that makes it clear. But
what about his eyes? He has such unusual eyes.
He was oriental to the core when he was born.
Oriental to the core?
Yes, he was.
But for heaven's sake.
His eyes were slanted. He looked like the progeny of an Eskimo, to tell you the truth about it. I looked at him and I thought, God forbid, this is probably going to be an ugly child. And I had dreamed him all up besides the look.
And he didn't look like that.
But, oh yes, he shaped
that. He looked like,
exactly like
you dreamed, huh?
Yeah, he shaped that. He looked exactly like it. And it was even said that two brown eyed people, two blue eyed people could not have a brown eyed child. And I was determined he should be a brown eyed child, and so he was. But, Well, it was amazing how he transformed himself into this great picture that I had held in my mind that he was to be. And furthermore, it was the first time in my life, I think, that I was ever just kind of a little abaft the beam about anything. When anybody would tell me he's going to be a girl, I was savage. It just made me so mad. I was just savage. I'd have a hard time keeping my hands off of their neck.
But when he was in the baby stages, did he have much illness? Was he pretty healthy, or did he have most of the baby diseases? Or
he had this thing called, I think they might call that the 3 month colic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there on the farm with him alone and responsible for taking care of the stock and this whole thing, or else I could have let it go. I think it would have let it go a lot quicker than it did in the depression. But I didn't mow weeds and do every other thing. And that was much too heavy for me to do. But I never knew when I had enough of work. And there was, I don't know, a scarcity of doctors or something. And the doctor that I wanted had retired, and he was, you know, I've heated with him for years. And I was bound that he was the one that had the knowledge that I needed to know how to, you know, the radio.
And the colic, huh? Was he on a bottle?
Yeah.
Was he allergic to cow's milk or something like that? Because a lot of babies are.
Well, it seemed that I tried everything in the book. I can't remember too much of that time. But I remember giving him the old tasteless and broth of oatmeal and things like that to supplement his diet.
Uh-huh.
And the thing didn't give any till I got to eating goat's milk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this old bird, all he would do is antagonize me, and I would just simply about tear his eyes out every journey. As in defense of that child.
If he responded to the goat's milk, there's a good possibility he was allergic to the cow's milk.
It was. Quite so.
Because a lot of the babies are. They say about 50% of the babies born are allergic to cow's milk. People don't realize it. Or didn't used to. The doctors are more alert to it now.
That's possible.
Would you like some grapefruit or apple juice, Lynetta?
Well, usually I need, I guess. I haven't eaten it this morning. But not until you get ready to open it.
No, I'm ready. What would you like? I've got both. I've got some more in the car if you want.
Oh, no, don't go down there to get more.
What would you like? You want a grapefruit or an apple?
Apple.
Apple?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought you'd like.
I'm going to get a cup of beer.
You want a hunk of cheese with it?
No, I just got two. Oh, it's an awful one. She fiddled around and I needed to eat. And I just got a piece of cheese.
Well,
Paul,
do you want to know, well, he's
I'm a cheese eater.
I don't care. Well, you know, I have to, if I don't put the food down, it's yes, I
know. What,
you want, would you like to have some?
No, that's right. I'll just bring out a can.
I don't think I answered the last question. Is that recording?
Mm-hmm.
Rufus, we won't get nothing for that.
No, I asked about his colic when he was a baby, if he was, about, if he was very sickly or if he had,
I was constantly tormented over it. In fact, it was my insecurity because of my fear that I didn't know how to handle him and how to raise him or rear him right or something. And he was so important to me that I was just beside myself in the rearing of him. But he really was ill, and I knew that he was. And this old goat I could not convince. This goat, you know, as I say, he had a thing about his father.
The doctor?
Yeah, the doctor did.
About Jim's father?
Yes, he was an enemy of his, and still, I don't know how to describe it.
Did he seem to take it out on the child?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And that, well, I finally figured that out, but it took me a while.
Huh.
Because I always had to drive him to do anything. I had to drive him to do anything. And then, of course, you know, it was evil times in the community and being a depressive time. And I would drive him on in behalf of all the poor that there was in the sector. And I guess he was somewhat disillusioned by the world war that he had gone into. That was another one of his hang-ups. His child, the only child, he had married a woman much older than himself. And she had been the wife of the doctor under whom he had started his first practice. And he married her, perhaps to obtain the equipment and all the stuff he needed to go into practice. Then she had had a child in the birth.
Go ahead.
She must have been, you know, just right almost beyond childbearing age when she had.
That's good.
I think you enjoyed your dinner. ignorant reaction to the war and about the whole thing. But every time I got inspired in defense of my child, I grant you. Well, did you want me to be?
Go ahead.
I would grant that my husband is in the same trick exactly like him, but by his angles, you don't take it out. Are the people in the community I said to him, and you don't do that to my husband, I don't know what that happened to me. Because he's helped us too. He was mean. And believe me, he had a temper disposition much like the doctor.
Your child did?
Oh no, the husband. And he hated him with a purple passion, the same as the doctor hated him.
What town was this in when you had?
Lynn again.
This was in Lynn.
But if we was right.
Did you live by yourself with Jim's father? Just the three of you in the house?
Yeah. Well, once in a while he had a young brother that lived there.
You mean his, it was Jim's uncle then? What was your husband's name?
James T. Jones. The T stood for Timothy. He didn't like that to be known, so that should not be put in publication. He waited the name of Timothy. The Jones family was all school teachers from home. Just as far back as I can remember. And consequently, it was bigoted, you know. I mean, how the low-minded approach with that.
Kind of intellectual snobs, you mean? That type of. Or just straight bigotry and in a prejudicial sense?
I don't know whether they was the intellectual snob or whether I was it. because they were just not broad-minded about anything. I mean, they would pick out these facts, and these was the facts, and that was the way it was till they died, unless you just beat them to death with a true situation, and then you never thoroughly could have.
How old was Jim when he started to walk? Do you remember?
Oh, no, these things I just don't.
Do you recall that he walked earlier?
Yes, I do recall.
He's so active that I would think he must have started walking
early. But he did not walk alone because his first walking was this old ancient go-kart, I think they called it then. But he always wanted me in that thing when I tried to haul him in, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'd get him on a level place and then I'd give way to what he wanted to do. I'd get in the thing. At first he could hardly move it. The next thing you know, what people was chalking their brakes as they ran down the street because he was going down the street to try with me in the crying thing before he could even walk along, you know. Because this is where the handles stood up over him somewhat like this, and he made it easy enough for him to apply the pressure to that.
To apply the brakes.
To apply the pressure.
What would he do? Run with it, you mean?
Yes, he'd run with it. And he never tired of running with the thing until the engine caught at that time. And he liked to, well, he just almost lost his life in an attempt to save the old buggy. It went out of the town on the cowcatcher of that big engine. It was pulling all that train of cars and people running from all over town. That was the kind of blood I had to sweat and work, you know, thinking, my God, what next?
How on earth could he take you on it? How could he get you on it?
On that baby back? Well, I would just get in there. I was, you know, a little different than other people, too. He finally persuaded me.
Lynetta, was it a circular thing?
You mean he couldn't even walk, but he was already persuading you to get into it? How did he convey it to you? Was he talking?
Squawk. He just stand there and squawk before he could talk, you know. Plug me in that thing so he could pull me. I don't know, I probably did it once maybe to keep him moving it or something.
And then after that he wanted you to do it?
Yeah, because so after that he didn't want to do it. Maybe he wanted me to do it.
Was it the kind?
I don't know if you could talk.
Was it this kind that had a little? Was it the kind of a seat that came up like this? Was it this kind that had the seat this way, or was it open on the sides? Was it just a little round thing that he sat on?
No, it had little arms on it, as I remember. Little arms right here. And then here was the seat down here, but these handles went quite a ways up, so they would go with
the seat. Yeah, well, on the seat, I'm trying to figure whether it's the kind that was just flat that you could have sat down on like that, or did it actually have a little... a thing like this, you know, a seat up on it.
Oh, no, you said flat.
It was a flat type.
Yeah, of course, my butt wasn't wider than nothing at that time. I was slender.
It was slender.
So I was
running you down the street on that thing.
Yes, squeezing in it. Most people would have been horrified, you know, but me, I didn't give a damn what I thought about it. This only thing I was more afraid of, Mackie Bowlegged, I remember. And he was bound and he should do this. And there I was working all kind of shifts, you know, and all to keep everything going, but still I would let him haul me down the street. And behind us was always this pig with its sweater and Mrs. Possum with her baby just clinging to her tail and riding her back. And I tell you, it's the one we had to cause the absolute deaths of people because they just chopped the brick. They wouldn't believe this when they first see it. And I'd always use the back street. They got so they'd come around the back street, you know, go around this way, come in this way, because they figured that'd be best time we'd be out there walking with the animals. Out in here, the animals could range, you know. And so,
were the animals around him already, even at that age?
Oh, Lord, yes, yes. Yes, they was in behind us always. Of course, I had a thing for the animals. And he just had even more so, I guess.
What,
my husband had no such a rapport with animals. He had no such, you know, cleaved animals as we did. We had a great, my body and respect, even for things as small, insignificant forms of life. We did not care to destroy things.
What, after he came through this period, did he have much illness through this period when he was starting to walk, or was he coming out of the illness stage pretty much?
No, the great bout that I had with the old doctor, he still was running ahead of this depression, you know, this farm had to be done away with, and it looked like all it was going to be a loss, and it was only through my determination.
What had to be done away with?
The farm, the whole farm. Oh, the farm. Had to go to get a reference.
This was when you lived on the farm.
No, this was when I had come into the town.
But what farm had to be done away with?
The farm at Crete. He was born at Crete, come think about it. A little east of land. Yeah, Crete.
He was born out on a ranch?
Yeah, 40 acres of land or 60 something. And this was going to be taken by a mortgage.
It was in his father's name at the time?
Yes.
The ranch?
A joint deed, I suppose it was. And
you mean a joint deed with you?
Or maybe his father. It seemed to me that his father had. And his father was there with me. But not for long, because he preferred to live with a son who had an erratic kid, you know. And he would garden over there, and he would do it.
He had another son?
Oh, he had many sons. Grandfather Jones did, yes.
This was your husband?
My husband's father.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're saying that Jim's grandfather lived with you for a while. Was it his property, or was it his son? Was it your husband's property?
Interest, I believe, to purchase that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had been owing Jim for many years, and he thought before he died, that was the way of it. But he thought before he died, he would like to fix it so that this money would get back to the son who gave it to him. And that's how he did it. But unfortunately, it benefited nobody because the depression wiped it out. But anyway,
We're not able to meet the payments. Is that on the property?
Well, nobody was. Everything went in that time of the depression in that area. I was able to force him into standing. You know, he was not a man that had the disposition I had. He bargained so a last ditch, you know. With me, you don't say quit, you bargain when you know that the worst, the values are going to go to somebody else and deprive your son of it. I didn't give a damn what they would deprive me of. I figured I could beat the rest of the prison and all the rest of them put in the heat, and I just about did. And anyway, though, this farm was about to go down the drain, and in its entirety, there was nothing.
How old was Jim when you lost it?
Oh dear, I don't know how old he was. Maybe he was just...
He must have been just a very small infant.
It was in 31, so it must have been. Not later than 32 years ago. No, he was really mad. Because I had lived in the Philippines. You know, that's hard for me to remember, interesting. Time. With Jim, time didn't amount to nothing. He always lived in the impression that Jim was timeless. He had always been. Just like I still have, nothing people has that too.
Yes, he does give you that impression.
But still in the...
And he comes up with things that let you know that he has...
The knowledge of other times.
Of other times so completely that it's complete, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, this was the anxiety that I had for his physical well-being. It was just a grand passion, for God's sakes. I'd just go a whole while when I'd think something was going to affect him. Or something that might take his life.
Did he ever get to play at all when he was a child on the ranch? Was he big enough to...
He was a babe in arms there.
He was a babe in arms at the ranch. Mm-hmm. So he never had to play with any of the farm animals or anything like that?
No, not there. But he didn't need that, you know.
What kind of a place did you move into in town when you had to leave the ranch?
Well, it was quite a nice house, but it had been grandfather's owned house, but he was losing that also, so... I moved there and made this tribe of Jones all the kids go out to this farm where they might be able to do something to salvage that farm, you know. And they didn't have what it took to do that. But in the meantime, well, I salvaged the house out of it with a mortgage on it, which I paid off later.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't lose the house then?
No, that was a very nice house too. But I was...
How long did you stay in that house with him?
Well, so Jim was grown. He's 14 years old. And more, I was living in that house when he was married.
When he was married?
No, I wasn't. I had to go to Richmond in order to take care of some business of mine. I rented that house. That was with somebody else.
When he was 14? Then you went to Richmond?
Yeah, my job was in Richmond, you know, for many years. I'd have to go between, you know.
Is it very far from Lynn?
About 17 miles. And I felt that Lynn was
best for him because there is where, and both there, for his father also, because he was an old timer and then they, and he could insult anybody and then, and they would take it because he had served his country in a war and they knew that he shot up on account of the war, you know, and that sort of thing. And many of them had avoided going to the war. Somehow they come out with respect for him, although he was obnoxious later years. I was the one of that and not getting cold. But they put up with him at the pool room, you know, and he'd be mad if he'd lose a card sometimes. I guess it was something else, but I didn't pay much attention to what
this,
went on.
This thing on the rats, why did he get the rats to chew down the pool room?
Because he felt that his father, he got worked up this vexation against his father because he was always up there. And
he knew his father shouldn't be at the pool room.
He wanted a father that would get out and work and do things and accomplish things like I did. I would do the impossible things. And he was aware of it, you know, and he figured that a man ought to do something else besides his pill. But of course his father amused himself that way. And he was assuming he would, so I didn't, at last I just withdrew an injection. Now in the early days I tried my best to convince him that he was not shot up as bad as he thought. That, in fact, I'd get him a job that was out of this world before they were just willing to pay him nothing. But he wouldn't hang no part of it. But still he'd been a hard-working man prior to the experience in the war. And he had been a contractor and various things like this, but the depression just simply ended all that. You know, I mean, this was another traumatic experience. Because I can remember him laying in the middle of the forest. Fine, when everything just seemed to run out. And he didn't have anything. Why, he was just laying there. He says, I've done all I can do. He'd be bursting in tears. He was a strong man, you know. I mean, he was very masculine. There wasn't nothing feminine looking about his father. And he says, I've gone as far as I can go. That's when I looked at him and I said, you cry, my love. I'll do the whippings.
I'll do what?
The last thing I ever did.
I'll do what?
I'll witness. The last, if it's the last thing I would.
What size of bitch were you going to whip?
The Great Depression, the Depression.
Oh, I see.
Not a little thing, but a big thing.
Yeah.
And man, I sure did. I did it. Back then, I even, when people couldn't get enough to buy bread, I was putting the pennies in Jim's account for his college. But I was done by having jobs every hour. I'm thinking most ingenious ways to make it. Not that I ever.
You were very thrift-minded even always, weren't you?
Yes, I don't know how that came about, but it sure did come about. Because I was born and not expected to do nothing. My people would just be bound that I just was small and frail and I was not supposed to do anything.
But in fact, you were wiry and probably more capable of doing than most of them.
Well, in fact, I would shock them.
Probably a lot stronger.
No, and they didn't want me to socialize and be blows at the house, you know, great. And people with the dough, you know, would come in the East Coast and all this, and I would simply hang my little silk dresses on a tree and go to the river slug and make absence for all hours, and they'd have everybody in the country out of hunting here. Nobody'd ever find me when I got in the woods, because that would be impossible.
You had such a great love for the woods. How old was Jim when you started getting cooking in the woods for the first time?
I did, because I gave it up and taught him, and he was cooking all
the time. You did?
It was too much risk for me to risk my life, you know, because I was his life, I figured, so he was going. But I was his soul.
You stayed away from the woods with him?
Oh, yes, I divorced myself from that completely. Well, necessity,
Hartley drove, you know, because he was born right in the Depression when I fled.
Yeah.
And I felt like every money would be devoted to the collecting money for his start.
Do you remember any incidents that he had with his peers, with the kids his own age?
I remember his
in his preschool years, particularly.
Yes, he had his church far back as I can remember, up upper part of the garage.
How did he happen to start that?
Well, a woman that he admired greatly. He didn't start it. Before he even knew her, she was a neighbor to this last house we had. That was at Mrs. Kennedy.
Mrs. Kennedy.
Yeah, she was, she belonged to the very opposite of what he believed, you know, for that. The hell's fire and damnation, you know, and all the brimstone that went with it. And she figured that I was going to hell straight on a mercury fly, I guess. Because I was such a scrapper, you know, and I provided for survival. And still, she was so fond of me.
As a person, huh?
Yeah, she would stand, she and her husband, for me above all else.
Even though she thought you were going to hell?
Oh, yeah, she'd reason with me in all this. And sometimes I would remember, you know, I'd just stand there and laugh at her. I'd say, well, I murdered you, just all tied up with this year's stuff. That's not what the Bible means. No matter what you think it says, it don't say nothing as ignorant as that. And, you know, she never get mad about anything. But I'd usually try to avoid the subjects of religion.
Did she help him to start the church, or what, his little church?
No, it was she who was always inclined to clean him up. You see, I couldn't keep nobody. He would reason with me about what a fool woman I was about trying to keep babysitters and things like that. He said,
Jim would reason
with
you?
He said, you know better than that. You know that they don't understand the work that I was coming to this earth to do. And he said, but I have no time to reason with those women. So, you know, before the dawn.
How old was he when he was saying that?
I can't remember.
Was this before school?
Yeah, that was before school. I can't remember when he wasn't saying
it. When he wasn't what?
I can't remember when he wasn't saying it.
He thought they were fool women, huh?
Yeah, he said, man, you should quit worrying. Did you know what I have to do? They don't. You know that I have that work. So I finally decided to sweat it out, you know. Well, anyway, she'd box him up and she'd take him to the Sunday school and church and all this sort of thing, and he would stay hitched for that stuff. And to me, it was really stiff, but... And everybody set great store by him because he was just an unusual one. That is, she and her people. Well, it was her and her husband, mostly. Her daughter was about ready to be wed at that time. I don't know whether her daughter appreciated it or not. But then there was this woman belonged to the Nazarene Church, you know, and they are quite, how would you say it, to be nice, if you're putting it in French, you'd have to make it a little nicer. But she was devout and she was completely wrapped up in the church. Her husband, I think, was a little less so, but he went along in the belief. And so I paid very little attention. I felt like that he should have some of this stuff. But the next thing you know, a woman they called, she was Pentecost, and she was called, she was a zealot, for that matter, a zealot thing, you know. As religionists are happy to be, she waylaid me everywhere she saw me. And now I want you to come to this church and so on. And one night I went down and what I saw didn't suit me at all. I was jumping from down and carrying on. She managed to
It was Pentecostal?
Yeah, she managed to wheedle Jim So that he was investigating at least what they had to offer too.
Little Jim?
Yeah.
Before he was even in school?
He might have done school this time, I don't recall. He probably was in school this time, but not much beyond the story.
But he already had his own church going before he...
Oh, he had this, this building up above the garage. I don't remember when he didn't have that.
Did he have an altar? Did he have chairs or what did he have?
He had the whole works, yes. And the bad boys of the village, that's what I started to answer you, what was his relationship with his peers. He was going to make an act like for civilization. Although he had to lay off a few layers of civilization in order to conquer them.
He later said what?
He had to take off about a few thousand years of civilization in order to conquer them. Because if they'd get smart, but they need to strip the water out of them.
What do you mean take off 2,000 years of civilization? He's throwing
pretty savage when he was laying out the big boys that was the puppies of the town.
Really?
Yes, he would.
You mean he'd physically fight them?
Oh, yes, he would.
Did he have
built God's house, Jerry, was the reason why he tackled them.
He what?
God's house was his place up there. Well, good. There's where he always kept fresh flowers on his altar. He always kept fresh flowers for the sick. And the visiting ministers and all that kind of stuff. I remember once.
What visiting ministers did he have?
Well, he would.
You mean in the neighborhood?
For any church, he didn't care where they come. What church they come to, the visiting ministers, he'd always welcome. He didn't care whether they visited his church or not. But there's where he kept his church when he laid it down for the wild ones of the town. They attended church in his church.
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, those that never went to church anywhere else, they come to his church because he found that was the thing to do. And he would.
You mean he go out and recruit them?
Well, I suppose he recruited them somewhere along.
How would he do it?
He probably just told them to get around there and learn how to live. He sure didn't be any finesse with it, I don't suppose.
Did you ever listen to his sermons?
Well, I'd eavesdrop occasionally when I was down. The animals was in the lower part of the garage. Sometimes it'd be quite late at night when I'd get there, and he wouldn't be engaged in his service, but sometimes on a Sunday morning I'd get to do a little eavesdropping on that.
What would he say?
Well, he would say what most any other preacher would say.
Well, if he was teaching people how to live,
that's right. He'd point out incidences where they'd done this and that and the other thing. Maybe nobody else in the town, the officers or anybody else, wouldn't know that they'd done this. But he'd say, now, you know, you should deny it. I know you've done it.
But anyways, he was already having revelation on people when he was an infant.
Of course,
infant,
he got around
youngster.
Like the Dandelions do, you know. But without a doubt, he did have these revelations.
Was he making... Would he tell them prophetic things even in that day, or?
Yes, he always did. He always seemed to have superior knowledge of good things.
Did he ever prophesy anything for you in those years?
No. He thought I was the master of it all, I guess. He never decided I needed any direction, I guess.
Figured you could take care of yourself. Uh-huh. He had to take care of the others.
Uh-huh, that's right. He always had. He always says. Then again, I think because I was, very much of an individual, and I'm very much inclined to interfere. What I just had, you know, thing was sitting in one place. You know, I had to move it to get things moving for him.
Did you know he was going to be a minister when he grew up?
No, no, I didn't. In fact, I tried to deviate him from that course. I tried very sincerely to do that.
You mean even when he was small, you tried to change his route?
No, I didn't mess with this. But except this woman that belonged to what they then called Holy Roller, that she got so savage in her determination to hang on to him.
Mrs. Kennedy?
No, Mrs. Kennedy, no. She was honest in her belief. And this woman probably was too, but she was also a radical, and she would take him out there to, she had a farm in the country. She was always sick, even out there, and among the animals and then she
sure,
would
have a bite?
So what is that, cheese?
Mm-hmm.
About all I ever bothered about with Jamoti was all right, was it? There was no reason to distrust this woman completely. Until she barged my house one time with the devil looking out of her eyes, and I decided that her work was bad for him. And she said to me that the devil has motivated you to pull that young man out of my profession.
Why did you decide that what she was doing was bad? What was she doing that was, what were you noticing with him that was bad?
I noticed that he wasn't able to sleep at night, that he was jerking, imagining he saw snakes and things like this. And I made up my mind that this...
Well, what did she have him doing?
Well, he in the pulpit, talking to congregations and one thing and another, and she'd have him hauled all over the country and things like that.
How old was he then?
Must have been about 10, maybe, or 8. This, I decided, was a... And it sure proved out when she got so hostile about it. But this was a drawing card and a fundraising thing that was a...
Making her money.
Making money for that organization. And
was she doing healings then?
I don't know. I was gold. I was working on it. So what she was making out of this would be anybody's guess. All I could do was to slobber the big thing when it began to bear fruit and things go new all of his life then. You know. But I had to get, I didn't inquire around, or I didn't, you know, anybody on these things. But I just merely worked around the edge till it manifested itself like this. They was building, they was, from scratch they sprung pretty fast, you know, up the ladder. And from the nothing for a church, where they begin to own various positions. And
oh, yes.
I begin to be very suspicious, and most especially when this nervous condition developed, I decided this was going to change my pulling right out. So then, so she comes to my house, and boy, she was most irate. Even I'd ever seen the devil just look right out of her eyes and just drunk me, you know, with a call out like that. She says to me, I'm gonna master the devil and you know, and boy, she didn't do nothing but rally then if she was there, because I went and put her out of my house in a big fast hurry. I said, now you bear in mind that I am the guardian of the child, that I brought him into the world. So wherever the hell you think you're going with your religion, you've done gone the last mile. So that was it.
She didn't give you any trouble after that, huh?
No, not after that. So that was pretty much of a... indicated to her that she'd probably be in one heck of a way if she went any further with that, because boy, she made me furious. Talking about the devil and all that and the infernal. You feel about mentioning it because it doesn't convince me that you are motivated by the devil instead of any.
Did his sleep straighten out then after you pulled him out of that? What was his reaction when you told him that he wasn't going to have anything to do with her
well,
anymore?
Well, I think he was about convinced. I don't recall that there was any great confrontation between us at the time.
He was probably just relieved that you had extricated him from the condition.
I think maybe so.
Was this affecting his schoolwork? He would have been in school at that age, probably at age 8. Did he have trouble with his teachers, with his extraordinary powers and things?
Well, you know, I never had much time to look into what was going on in these school things. I was always out, and I...
Did he come home with any tales from school? Tell you about anything?
I wouldn't know them anyway. But in after years, he indicated that there was a bigoted pack of people. You know, I know it's okay, but...
I mean, if they had to work under par. They had to work under par, you did.
No, I mean, the kind of thing that I was educationally equipped to do was not present in that small town.
I see.
So I managed to bend myself to whatever.
Just needed.
Make something out of whatever
came along
there to be done. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes worked for one thing, sometimes worked another. I organized the unions and all the plants were that was affiliated with the plant where I worked in Richmond. And this didn't make the money, at least it made the going somewhat easier for me as well.
When did he first begin to know about socialistic principles? that you began to
hear him talking about.
Well, I think that would be a hard one to answer, so far as he had not had an experience with structure that is so integrated to the people.
Did you ever have any knowledge of socialist structure in those days?
Well, I never made a finish of it. The socialist structure, I always figured was bad. I was always on the side of people. God, my people was humanitarians from further back than the history went, you know. And that is why that I felt like we had had all the... that I didn't want him to devote his life to just being a slave to the best interest of people. I had faith. Even in all this past, trying to beat this depression and all this, I had browbeaten bankers and other people who were well-versed in manufacture and that, and to start in factories in a little town for people who I was never idle on these same principles that he would work on today. But I didn't put names to it.
Any more of this?
You want any more cream or
no,
honey, sweetener?
No, that's plenty. I didn't put names to the things I did. I call it whatever you
any
will.
Any particular doctrine, huh?
No, where I saw that people was being exploited, that's where I was to try to see that that didn't happen.
Yeah. When he was... in his little church with his young friends.
How many did he have in his little church?
What would be? Well, just about every young squirt that was growing up around town.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I suppose that there was even what might have called themselves a social elite.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't pay no heed to who was socially elite and who wasn't. He said they always tried to downgrade him and that sort of thing, but I was not aware of this. Because he was always got his way about whatever he wanted to do. And now this, he'd go down and he would... on his feast days, you know, he'd go...
Did you say fish days?
On his feast days.
Feast.
He'd take the whole daggone town down when I was in battle with the depression and walk them over to the grocery store, and all the years I lived there, I'd say, don't you ever credit anybody with anything. I don't run credit. But when they'd go there and he'd go there and say, I want so-and-so and I want so-and-so, we got it, got it. Because he was my son and I paid the bill. Thus it was with my husband's brother, who was a ne'er-do-well in that day. And even the gangsters caught on to that they could pin him down and bring him in and get carloads of lumber. And
you mean Jim?
Jim's brother.
Oh, I see.
They'd get him and put their hands on his neck and this here underworld. That was
you mean you paid his bills?
They force him to come there and they load up with the lumber and charge it to me, the whole...
Well, if you didn't sign for it, how could they charge it to you?
Well, they did it. Not that they ever was able to collect it. They sure did it.
For heaven's sakes.
And it always be the gassing, you know? Yeah. Everybody would charge it to him, sometimes his brother. One time I remember going to the place where this class, I could write a book on like beating the water out of those hoodlums and that backwards. I finally got him killed, the brother. He was murdered. Because he wouldn't listen to me and say,
Did Jim ever display a temper at people with his... Because he has such a righteous temper when he sees something going wrong. Was his righteousness showing even then when he'd see people going astray and know they were going to go haywire? Would he do anything to try to help them and stop them from going astray?
Well, yes, I suppose he did. He'd always tell them the right way and he'd jerk you, you know, and he'd kind of feel strange. I guess I'm talking about it. He would talk to us about things he talked today to them when they get together. I thought they have such and such a case and such and such in this case, what would you do, Jimmy? He would have... Sometimes they formulate their own different inquiries that way, you know. And he'd come out with a logical statement on it. That's what to do, and I would dare say that they'd do it, you know, really undoubtedly. They just work that way.
How did he happen to start getting the tramps and things? I know you said he brought them home to dinner or something. And made you pay the bill for that.
Yeah, I'd say, don't you know that this is not right?
You want to sit over in this green chair? Would you be more comfortable over there?
Oh, yeah. My head hurts. It feels odd. I get worked up when I talk too much. And he was just always knowing what everything that went around and everything that was. He just moved around a lot for one thing. And of course, where they were, I was out working. They'd be clearing to the night, what do you think of something? He thought I ought to be taken care of. I don't mean things like labor, you know, and things like that. He probably didn't know nothing about that. If he did, he kept it dark. But he could tell when people was troubled and things like that. That's what he had said, really, when he jumped out of the tub and took off.
Mm-hmm.
He said something was wrong with Mrs. Anderson.
With Mrs. who?
With Mrs. Anderson.
Oh, somebody that he liked, huh?
She was an old lady, but she had a few sons there in the town, and their wives, but she lived alone with somebody taking care of some of the sons. And he would always, she would tell me, when she felt that she was desperate enough to take her own life, she just had to lay there. End it like that, you know, she was beyond the age of recovery, or she didn't recover. And said, always when I feel that I'm in desperate straits, where Jim come. And he would sit there cross-legged in the midst of her bed, and she would stride upon her bed, you know, and he would hold her hand and talk to her. There's more for me than the medicine is for me. So it was in these people that realized how great was his work and how much he was coming out. And that's how he came to be. He's somewhat of a legend in the town, I guess. But then
he would just show up, huh?
Yeah. Just out of lady. And this Dalen, the visiting preacher, I particularly remember this, come to the town while he had read the old Burt's Flower Garden, I guess, that raised flowers for a living. That feed went on for years with this old woman and the boys of the village. until you know, we settled him down on that. He was sick or changed his whole attitude toward life. He was a religionist too all these days. But he found out where his religion was a little amiss when he then got to working on it.
I don't have one, it's in San Francisco. But,
What do you mean when this particular minister came to town? What did Jim do?
Well, he just went out and picked him some very dainty little things, little flowers, and set them up somehow with dandelions, which was much larger than that. And so he just appeared in service, half naked, with all his dog and animals behind him. There was tea and hash, you know, and he walks up in the pulpit and welcomes him out to the church and presents his bouquet. And there was titters and this, and the preacher liked to have himself cat-fed. He got so confounded mad. He said, I don't want to hear any more funny business either.
He was talking to people in the church?
Yes, he said.
He recognized the child's
sincerity. One little finger of this child, and there isn't a whole town. That's what he said. Boy, they straightened out his face and flew right. That was told to me, you know, by the people present.
What do you mean he showed up half naked and with all of his dogs? Didn't he like to wear clothes?
Oh, no, he didn't wear clothes very often.
How old was he then?
If it was summer, he could be sure that he wouldn't.
But he just wear shorts, you mean? He would wear shorts.
Unless it, for some reason, he annoyed him, at which time he would just split them off and go home naked.
Around the neighborhood?
He walked right down that long street. One time he had the diarrhea. He said, I have a medical diarrhea. That's what he told the woman. But I asked him why I had his pants off, and there was just no water, no.
And there was just what?
No creek around close, you know. He'd already left the creek, so he was making his way home. And he had diarrhea stuck on his legs, stuff of that kind. He would tell that and laugh about it. And I frankly told him that I thought she could help him get stuff off of him, but he was, you know, small then. But he paused past the time of day with them if you want to know why he was naked. And so she, I suppose, had to blaze around the neighborhood peddling that tail, I don't know. But instead of cleaning him up, boy, she'd excuse him. But anyway, this minister sure taught him a lesson that day. He just never let up on about that. He said, there's something in your midst of crackling gift from heaven, and then titter. He said, there's more religion than one of his little fingers. And one minister that he'd ever encountered in all his walks, not only this town, but other towns as well. You won't laugh when you see a miracle before your face.
That's what the minister said, you don't laugh when you see a miracle before your face?
Yeah, I said, he was going
did he, to... Was he referring to Jim as a miracle, or did Jim do something?
Well, he just brought this flower, and he come half naked, and with all of his animals in his rear, he'd started to the clear out of the town, you know, to the old swimming hole or somewhere down in there where he thought he had some business to take care of on foot with his animals. All he'd do was go out and let off a squawk and the animals would come from all over town, there they'd go. And so this whole retinue, you know, just right beside him while they walked up to the pulpit.
Did he have some kind of a call that he used to gather his animals when he came out?
He just go out and squall sometimes. Just let off a screech and he wouldn't say anything. He'd come over. If you start getting a licking, man, you could figure on being bowled over by everything.
You couldn't spank him, you mean?
No. No, you couldn't. I sure could. Because the first squall, why everything reports. To see what the world was wrong with James. The old neighbor across the way had a chow, but nobody, everybody feared that dog, I tell you.
She had a chow?
Yeah, a chow. You know, he was a watchdog, and he was something else. And he never leave his premises except when Jim would go out and let off a squawk.
Then he followed Jim, huh?
So Jim got ready to come back. He said, somebody over there is talking about the dog. He says, well, have you got a dog, Clarence? Clarence says, I pay taxes on a dog. There's not any dog in this town that belongs anywhere but with St. John.
For heaven's sake. You mean he literally had all the dogs in town? My gosh, how large a city was Lynn? How many people
they
did you have?
To their houses when they got through frolicking with Jim, you know, they'd go there and be fed and that sort of thing, you know. And that got to be the way the neighbors would talk about it, you know, or the people that
they paid taxes house. On the dog,
yeah,
and that was it.
We treated him.
He's Jim's dog.
Him, but he belongs to Jim Jones, just like every other dog.
How many people lived in Lynn at that time?
Oh, I don't know how large the blame thing was. Jim probably could tell you all about that night.
Is it the size of Ukiah or the size of Redwood Valley?
No,
or?
It wasn't anything like that. Dude.
Did they have many stores in the town or was it just a little grocery store?
And grocery. It was. And finally joined by a department store. They latched that on. And there was a post office across from it. You know, it's hard for me to recall this blame thing. I'm such a one to just sweep it back and go on, you know.
Yeah,
that
I know.
I don't recall the things very well about it. Except what Jim knows that he didn't know about that. But and the school was the not what you'd call a bad one. It was pretty good for the size place. And politics was right. I remember I was actually in politics while I was there because the Republican Party was in the saddle and I was banned by the other thing was going to be.
Did he ever get involved in politics as a child?
He had no earthly.
He had what?
He had no interest in those things at the time.
Mm-hmm.
All that was the exploitation of the people by... That was a thing that was concerning.
Hmm. Of course, politics is a great exploiter.
In all ways. Well, most this faction of the party, there's no claim to virtue, I don't suppose, you know, a lot of times, but the party of the poor was always a Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And I never did, you know.
Were you Democrat then?
I was a Democrat in the way to go, yeah. You have to be if you're for the people, frankly. It ain't very handy to be a Republican.
No, that's true.
And be the other way. Because they are primarily the exploiters. The people who have not are the Democrats.
Did he ever put out any little newspapers or... You have such a writing knack. I just wondered if he ever demonstrated any of that.
No, he didn't. And I wanted him to collaborate with me many times. he never could see fit to do that. He yet seemed to be in the mind of speaking. And Marcy and me lit up to do that one time. To write the story of his life, I guess. And I know I had a lot of notes, even as busy as I was on that. But I think that I had him for a while after I come here. And I think I finally done away with him, which is very useful because I had him now. But she was going to collaborate with me, you know, and we was going. We do it by mail, really, although we were 70 miles apart. Why, I'd write when I got the opportunity, and she would.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in politics and humanitarian works of every kind, makeable, besides unions at all hours of night, besides the work that I did for money.
Mm-hmm. But his was mostly with people, huh?
Yeah. His was with people. There was an old woman that had was way out in the country, and he had a tricycle. It was just about the smallest size tricycle that you could get, you know. And he'd take these that and manage somehow to haul animals. They'd throw them out on the road, you know, and on the ditches, little kittens and dogs. All this, and the doctor to the town, the other people of the town. They'd come along, they'd find him, they'd load up his bicycle and these animals that he'd picked up and bring them home. And I remember I stopped one day and I said to one of the young doctors, I said, good heavens, how long do you think I'm going to support all this? And he said, you have no choice.
You have no choice?
I said, I realized that, yes. But anyway, the doctor reached over and took a fat little puppy out of the house, a little thing that must have recently been, you know, jerked away from its mother. And he set it in my arms. And I was just saying to Jim, you know, that I have just gone and that's not, I just cannot take on any more. Mother, you should be ashamed. He realizes what you've said. Look at the sad look in his face.
The puppy he's talking about.
Yeah, I turned around and looked, and the doctor, I looked up, and his face is right against mine. He says, you won, James. The battle's won, James. I turned around, we're just nose to nose, you know.
You mean you and the puppy, or you and the doctor?
Well, the puppy, I was the eye and the puppy.
Oh, you were eye and the puppy, and you...
And the doctor, he gets down and looks at eye and me, you know, and he's peering around with the expression I've got. And he turned around and says, says, it's over, James, you won. And then he hauled out a sack that he had in the back seat, and there was other animals in that sack.
That he had... That Jim had with him on this little tricycle out along the road, my God.
How he managed to do this, I don't know.
And yet he was so tiny. If he had the smallest size tricycle, he must have been awfully young.
Well, it was just no tricycle at all, hardly. I never could figure out how he could get these gunny sacks rigged up. And I used to accuse the doctors, I'd say, I'm accused.
This was before he went to school then.
Yeah.
And he was out along the road doing all of this?
Yeah, he'd do this because that's what it was.
How far out of town was it?
Oh, he'd go, God knows how far out of town. I don't know how far this old woman lived that had this chicken.
Would he always get home at night?
Oh, yes, he'd get home sometime along.
This woman who had the chicken, you mean he went out there to help the chicken?
He figured this old woman was abusing the chicken, and it was the poorest thing I ever saw to still live. So I brought it home that night, and he suffered a horrible setback on that because that night some varmint come up out of the woods and devoured the chicken.
Oh.
And the old woman come in, and it must have been a witch.
You mean a man came in out of the woods, somebody came and stole the chicken, or
Oh, no, because...
An animal killed it.
A varmint. Because these varmints would come up there and join up with me, and they'd never go back to the woods, you know.
What for heaven's sakes? What kind of varmints are you talking about?
Old possums, fox, raccoons.
What for heaven's sakes?
Raccoons, yeah.
Huh.
And you know the flooding and stuff that takes place, or storm or whatever took place out in the woods, well, I could be sure to get them because they were afraid to my house right there, I guess.
For heaven's sakes.
They seem to know.
But you were a little inclined in that direction yourself, so you really couldn't blame him when you were just as bad as he was in one respect.
He got the whole sneer from me, Dad, I suppose. But at the early age, I was not able to do the remarkable feats he would about recovering. Although I was, you know, just like him, but they informed me, struck me to stay at home or attend the parties, and they'd bring me up to 110, and I'd do just like him. I'd just go out in the woods and hang the rigs on the fence and walk on there, you know, if maybe some of the little fence. And there was all kind of dangers around when I was down there.
Hmm.
There's even big cats in the woods. And
did he ever bring home any animals like that, like the big cats? Did he ever?
Well, let me see. We've had so many.
Did he ever have bobcats or anything like that for pets?
Yes, he had everything. He didn't have any misses on that. Like the game warden one time. The game warden wanted me to quit everything else I was doing and wanted to take his job for some reason. He gave it up, you know. And he wanted me to do this because we had feuded for years yet because he was always wanting to put my animals, as the law said, they should go in the cage, they should be liberated and all this sort of thing. And every time he'd come, we'd get in an argument, my animals would spring on him. Lord, that the coon baby bit into the bone one time.
Because did he? The coon baby?
Yeah, the man you would have thought would have spied me with a purple passion. Instead, well, every time he'd have a problem in the woodland, why he'd come out, you know, to talk to me about it. So when he got to the point where he had to give up the thing, he said, I just can't bear. I mean, he just tears running off his face. I just can't bear for anybody to do this. But you said, you're the only person I can think of that ever really should be doing it. He was really careful with them. But he found out that he couldn't break an animal's friendship with me and his desire to belong to me. He couldn't break this, you know. So over the years, there he was, a combatant over that. He put the coon baby in the cage, you know, and I just stand there and watch him eat. This time, I'm going to promise you the full extent of the law. I said, oh, well, I'll cross the bridge and I get there, you know. I wasn't being a bit carried away about it before you get out of sight. Of course, the coon baby cried, and I let him out of his cage. And I wasn't supposed to have the coon baby under the law. Then he got away one time and got lost, the coon baby did. And I was working, you know, just all kind of shifts at this time. So I knew a coon hunter, and I said, I'll tell you one thing you've got to do for humanity, and that's one thing besides kill something. I want that coon dog, and I want take him with me to track my coon baby, because I think maybe something went wrong with his sense of smell or something that he can't get back to me anymore. He said, I borrowed that coon dog, but I cannot let you have it. And I said, you might as well, because if you don't, I'm going to kill that coon dog, because I got to have him right this night. And it was just, you know, it was a co-worker that I worked with, and I had ridden with this bunch of people to the job.
It was a, what you had worked with?
There was